Tatiana for the flute and Bev for your beautiful voice. Ladies of the choir, Mark for your leadership. And I want to thank Jerry Whalen, who I believe is being a chef in the kitchen. Is that true right now? And with some other people, and for helping our community day happen today. We're having a wonderful experience. Thanks to Adult Spiritual Development and everyone who's participated to make this day such a spiritual connecting event for us. I agree with Walt Whitman. I agree with Walt Whitman that I know nothing but miracles everywhere I look in the world, but sometimes it doesn't feel like everything is miracles. For the last 2 weeks, our youngest child has been sick with ear infections on both sides. He's on a second round of antibiotics. So as you can imagine, it's been a bit stressful in our house as we've all tried to carry on with our regular work and family routines. When I got sober, I thought it would be the most boring experience imaginable. But I was willing to make the deal and take the boredom if I could get rid of some of the pain. Courage is the spiritual theme of the month. Earlier this month, we explored the courage to sing the blues, and then we looked at the courage to be vulnerable. And today we explore the courage to find joy and smile. So let's start by acknowledging the fact that it can be tough to be joyful and smiling because sometimes life is difficult. Recently, J. Robert Smith wrote an article in the New York Times pointing out the gut-wrenching correlation in the United States between guns and suicide. Smith wrote, "The gun debate recently has focused on mass shootings and assault weapons, especially since the schoolhouse massacre in Newtown, Connecticut. But far more Americans die by turning guns on themselves." Now, I could not believe these stats for a couple weeks. Nearly two-thirds of gun deaths are suicide in America. In 2010, nearly 20,000 of the 30,000 deaths from guns in the United States were suicides. And that's according to recent figures from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Thankfully, our country is engaging in renewed conversation about guns and reducing violence. The President, Congress, and all of us have an obligation to think and act seriously. We need to make our voices heard. Let's be clear that some simple common sense measures would really bring progress. I say let's start by making the requirements for gun use as demanding as the requirements for having a driver's license to drive a car. I don't think that would be anti-constitutional. But today, I want to highlight how the high number of suicides also points to how many people struggle with thoughts and feelings of wanting to end their own lives. There are approximately 40,000 suicides in the United States alone every year. Various complicated dynamics can create suicidal tendencies, including real serious mental health problems. If you or anyone you know is struggling with suicidal tendencies, please reach out for help. Please talk to me. Please talk to another trusted official. This is real deal stuff that exists, not just out there. So let's have the church be for real deal stuff and be able to reach out. It's also true that one does not have to be struggling with intense mental health problems to sometimes struggle to find the courage to be. The courage simply to be. The great Jewish-Dutch philosopher Baruch Spinoza said, "Courage involves all the essential acts of everything that participates in being. In other words, everything we do in living our lives involves courage. Now, I agree with this, and I think a big part of why we come to church is that we need to connect with one another and the spirit of life intentionally in community in order to summon courage to participate fully in being, waking up every day and being through our days and our nights. I remember growing up Unitarian Universalist. I was in the fourth grade, and I had a lovely friend, Sharon, who was very solidly dedicated in her Christian faith. And when Sharon learned that I did not accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, she very kindly expressed her concerns that I would burn in hell. And she was very concerned about me. And at that time, I did not have advanced thoughts about the afterlife. And I remember worrying. I was worried, what if Sharon is correct? She was a very kind, smart person. I had existential fear about being. What would happen in my life? The whole thing was a bit overwhelming and scary. And it can be that way for people older than fourth graders. Paul Tillich was a great theologian. He preached in our pulpit, and he liked to talk about the topic of the courage to be. Having seen the horrors of the first two world wars, Tillich certainly knew that life could bring pain and misery, and he knew that war and suicide are not the only situations where people struggle intensively. Too many children and adults are verbally or physically abused by family or trusted officials. Too many people have food insecurity. Right now in America, about 50 million Americans lead stressful, grinded-out existence with insufficient nutrition. Those are, and more than half of the adults have jobs. That's wrong. That creates fear. Too many people in general just struggle with feelings of being lost or alone, even when they're surrounded by people who care about them. I believe that most everybody in this sanctuary has spent at least some time feeling like they were holding on by some kind of a fragile, worn piece of rope. And you might be feeling something like that today. And if so, I'm glad you're here. We are here for you. And this place gives us all courage, so I hope you can soak that up and we can connect with each other. Tillich believed that emptiness and meaninglessness are primary causes of fear, the opposite of courage. Two examples of this, you feel like there's a hole in your soul. You just feel empty. There's nothing really there grounding you. Or when you feel like you have a lack of purpose with your days. You wake up and you just don't have the energy or direction you need to feel like it's working okay. Tillich was not a Unitarian, but his work resonated with UUs. He believed in God, but he focused more in talking about ground of being or power of being. He said there is a ground of our being. And I think in similar ways now many of us are singing about and talking about spirit of life. So for Tillich, courage is the affirmation of the powers of life in spite of circumstances. Affirmation of the powers of life in spite of circumstances. So when people work to have positive and meaningful friendships, they do it in spite of painful loneliness sometimes. Not because they don't have any loneliness. When children grow up and hopefully achieve safety and independence with courage, they can affirm goodness in life in spite of continued grieving of past endured abuses. Not because they just totally got over grieving that they're abused. In spite of. That's courage. When you get past the devastation of a divorce and you realize you can now create a new chapter in your life, you do, that's courage to claim that power of life. It's not because, oh, the divorce really wasn't a problem and I'm over it 100%. You really view happiness as a birthright, ontologically. But life itself can make happiness tough to claim. When you open your heart to feel happiness, you risk being hurt. You risk your heart getting banged around. This is why, what do teenagers do sometime on the parking lot? I mean, on the playground. You know, they try and look glum and be cool. So one of the things going on, youth are protecting themselves. You know, being happy and excited about life is not always popular among teens. You might say, hey man, that's not funny, you're being a nerd. Teenagers have to develop self-esteem and independence enough to determine from within themselves what makes them happy and if they can handle other people disagreeing. And of course, it's not uncommon for we adults to go through this time and time again in our lives. What do I need to be happy? And are other people going to think okay of me when I really share what that is? Talking about the courage to smile, Tillich said that the moment we touch the greatest strength in our lives is the moment we can experience joy that has eternity within it and hope that cannot be destroyed. So there's this synergistic relationship, I'm telling you. This is what I really want you to hear today. There's a synergistic relationship between smiling and laughing and courage. Acting happy brings health and strength. Okay? Researchers say laughter relaxes the whole body. Laughter boosts the immune system. Laughter releases endorphins, the body's natural feel-good chemicals. And laughter literally makes your heart healthier. It has your heart do better blood flow. Being happy gives you strength and courage. The French word for courage comes from the same word as heart. So laughter gives you courage. Laughter gives you heart. And courage allows you to laugh. It takes courage to smile, but it builds it as well. Connecting with eternal joy and indestructible hope bring courage, and Tillich knew you can't do it on your own unless you're Superwoman. Maybe you are Superwoman. I'm not saying nobody can, but most people cannot do this in solitary confinement or on an isolated island. So there's three phrases for building courage for Tillich. The first is being a part of community. This is an ontological truth, a metaphysical truth. We need one another. This is why we're here today in our retreat day, having chanting and silent meditation and drumming and scriptural reflection and worship and breaking bread after this. Everybody's invited to bake bread after, break bread, blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. We're going to laugh together over food. Needing courage and community together, folks have to get over in our individualistic society fear of rejection. It's tough. This means if I go to have brunch today with a church, somebody's going to think I'm not good enough. Or somebody at my table might not like me. Or on the other hand, you know, I'm really too cool for them. This is going to be boring. Or only losers really go to church brunches. Do people say that, by the way? Really? Nobody tells me these things sometimes out in the real world. But I think there's a little bit of that out there. You know, you got to be kind of not doing too well to go to church. The second phase of developing courage involves being yourself. This starts with a toddler realizing she is independent and continues through our entire lives as we learn to be true to who we are. We're doing that here as well. And the third phase, I want really people to hear me on this, is developing helpful images for living your life, symbols, dreams that can help you. So in community, be true to yourself and claim an image for yourself that can bring you happiness, okay? So this does not mean claim an image for you that sets you up for failure, okay? Oh my gosh, I'm going to lose 35 pounds and be so happy, okay? That's probably, could be a good one for somebody, but probably that's buying in to some of the body image garbage that companies pay millions of dollars to televisions and magazines to run ads to get us all to buy into, to think our bodies aren't good enough, okay? Don't, you know, buy into an image of your family life as Leave It to Beaver. You know, oh, we're so perfect, and everybody sits around and has peaceful, enjoyable conversations all the time, and this is the most polite, helpful family ever. If that's your only image of your family life, you're probably setting yourself up for a fall. Okay, images get shattered. We can develop new images for ourselves, and we can start with what we have right now, who we are. Pick an image of what already is, like Whitman does. Something in that list of that poem that Joan read. Want what you have. Do what you can. Be who you are. Pick an image that is available in your life that'll bring you joy and make you laugh. So I'll give you an example. Like Joan did last, I'll be a little vulnerable here. For me, one of the best activities for me is dancing. And I do not dance enough. But I was at a minister's conference in January where we ended with a wild dance party. Joan, how good was the dance party? Really good. Really happening dance party. So backstory, 22 years ago I got sober. I thought I had to give up dancing because how would I dance without drinking? But I got over that delusion and realized I could really have a lot of fun dancing sober. And of course, I still get nervous at the beginning of the party, trying to figure out, okay, who's going to do what here? You know, how much are people going to groove? How much can I really let loose and dance the way I like to, you know, grew up from little one dancing? So in January, a community of friends, got our courage up together. We had a blast. We danced and sweat and talked and laughed. Hasidic Jews used to say, life is a dance. If so, how foolish to struggle with the question, what does life mean? A dance simply is, and you either enjoy it or you don't. As early as the first century, Saint Irenaeus said that the glory of God is a human being fully alive. Being fully alive. So you might wonder what that means theologically, but think about it. Perhaps when your dance is over, a group will gather to remember you, maybe in the sanctuary, and a friend will say, she danced with such energy, she left the rest of us just breathless. So now, Kristen and I have been in this grinded-out time with a sick little guy at home, having to miss work. I'm holding on to that image, Tillich would say, of dancing that has given me joy and courage to get through until Ellis is fully healthy. You can pick up little images and hold. When someone's sick, when you're sick, you can think of somebody wiping your brow in the past. Or someone just giving you a cup of tea. And that's an image that can bring you courage and joy. Yes, I'm going to get through this sickness and laugh again. And how this has really been hard and disgusting or frustrating or whatever. There are a multitude of miracles in which we can engage to make the most out of our brief time on this planet. And we can hold them up like Whitman does. For courage and laughter, let's say, talking by day with anyone you love. Lift up that image. Watching the horses feeding in the field. Or looking up from under the trees in the woods. Or paying attention to the delicate, thin curve of the new moon in spring. Every square yard of the surface of the earth is spread with miracles. If we pay attention, we can smile. If we pay attention while we're building beloved community, we can become our truest selves and have the courage to be and the courage to be joyful. Blessings be. Amen. Now let us sing joyfully. This is a Harry Belafonte tune, and it is fun. 1074 in the teal, 1074.